sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with song. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. The scripture is called the call to worship. The message this morning that the Lord laid on my heart was a call to worship. And my message this morning is going to be basically, I just feel led to do it this way. My message this morning is a kind of a summary of what's been going on here this morning. I tell you, God is up to something. I have prayed for a spirit of brokenness. So listen up, Evangel Church. I've been praying for God to just melt our, you can call it a hard heart, a calloused heart, a tough heart. But I have been praying that God would bring a spirit of brokenness to this church. Because the Bible says the sacrifices of God are broken, and a contrite spirit with such God is well pleased. I recall the words of the psalmist when he gave these words, and immediately he goes into this scripture, and harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation when we tempted the Lord in the wilderness. In other words, he's saying worship, 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 bow down. Let your heart be broken. Let your spirit be broken. Don't let your heart be hard. God loves us this morning. He wants to minister to you. There's not one person in this room that God is looking over this morning, or God is not seeing this morning. If you're sitting on a pew here this morning, the Holy Spirit knows exactly who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what's going on in your heart, in your life. He's concerned, and He wants to do something significant in your life. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart as Sister Sarah came up and took the microphone. You can tell the Holy Spirit's been in charge of this service from the very beginning. Brother Danny's words, those words of exhortation. But I'm going to tell you, we got parents walking around saying, I want my kids to do this, and I want my kids to be this. And I want, listen, if you want it, if that's what you want, it's going to take what Sister Sarah did this morning. That's what it's going to take. Well-wishing doesn't get it done. Well-wishing never helped one of my children. The only thing that helped my children when they were growing up fight through the battles they were fighting was prayer. It was weeping over them. Now, you can be hard-hearted, and we can be stiff, and you can sit and you can watch the enemy devour and destroy your children. How many believe your children are worth a few tears? Oh, dear God. I said, how many of you believe your children are worth a few tears? I'm not talking about tears of sadness necessarily. I'm just talking about tears. In my devotion this week, one of my devotion times, I was reading the Word. Imagine that. I was reading the Scripture, and I've been thinking about harvest. That's what the Holy Spirit's been talking about. Been talking about harvest and preparing ourselves. I have a handout here today of 6 points that we're going to focus on. And one of them is encouraging the membership of the church to become worshipers. Encouraging people to become worshipers. But I was reading the Scripture, and here it is. He that goeth forth sowing in tears shall doubtless come again reaping with joy. Sow in tears, reap in joy. I'm still sowing tears over my children. They're grown and got children. Most of them got children of their own. You never can stop, church. There's never a stopping place for that spirit of brokenness over your family. How many of you believe the devil stops trying to destroy them? Do you believe the devil ever stops trying to destroy your children? He doesn't. The Bible says, 1 Peter 5:8, for your adversary the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, we can stick our head in the sand if we want to and say the devil's not real. That's just a myth. But I tell you, the book says, the word of the living God says, you have a real adversary. His name is Satan, the devil. And he's out to destroy you and your family and your children. And I think it's time for some moms and dads to rise up like Sister Sarah did this morning. Say, no, Satan, you're not going to get my children. You're not going to defeat my family. You're not going to destroy my marriage. You're not going to divide my home. But I'm going to come against you in the name of Jesus. And I tell you, I really feel this in my spirit. That if we start sowing in those kind of tears of repentance, tears over our children of compassion and desire to see God to do everything He wants to do in their lives, our grandchildren. How many of you got grandchildren that need Jesus Christ? They're lost without Jesus. They need to be saved. You got some grandchildren? You got their children? See, some of you got children in here that are growing up. They haven't had the opportunity yet to, they may not even be old enough to know Christ. But I'm going to tell you, should the Lord tarry, the day's coming. And the enemy's going to do as he did in my life, as he did in my children's life, as he's even done in my own grandchildren's life, just come against them to destroy them. Don't you drink the Kool-Aid that says there's no devil and you've got nothing to worry about. And by the way, don't drink the other Kool-Aid that says, oh, they'll be all right. They'll grow out of it. How many of you believe that they grow out of it? I don't. Mine didn't. Jesus told his disciples, some of these come not out but by prayer and fasting. I believe it's time for us to do what you saw this morning. As I start weeping over our children, our sons and our daughters, our grandchildren. And when we reap, we're going to reap in joy. I know a lot of parents this morning that are not reaping joyfully. They're not reaping joyfully. Their tears are not tears of joy. Their tears are tears of bitterness. Their tears are tears of heartache, and their tears are tears of remorse and sadness. What kind of tears do we want to cry? I'd rather cry those preemptive tears of sowing and tears and pleading the blood of Jesus over their lives rather than sowing late, reaping later, tears of sadness, tears of grief over lives that are lost and destroyed. You say, Pastor, you're sounding dark this morning. No, it's not meant to sound dark. We have a Savior. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The call to worship this morning is a call to worship and bow down. I read in the words of the psalmist. And I read this, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. I find in the scripture the purpose of worship. It's not going to take me long to close this morning because I just feel like the Holy Spirit is already here. And we're going to move right back into this mentality of what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning? My prayer last night as I was praying in the early hours this morning, I was praying this prayer. Lord, I don't want the people. I want the people that I come in contact with. I want it to be like the disciples. I don't want to be concerned about whether or not I impress them with my speech or my speaking or with the message or the sermons or anything else. But God, I want them to know one thing, that I've been with Jesus. I was with Him this morning. I was with Him this morning in prayer. Brother Danny, it's the only thing that's going to make a difference. These are they that have turned the world upside down, Brother Glenn. And what turned the world upside down was that they had, and the force behind that was that they had been with Jesus. That was the difference in the disciples and everybody else that walked the streets. They had been with Jesus. They had been in His presence. They had been in His presence, and they had heard His word, and His word had transformed their lives. They had been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? The purpose of our worship this morning is to honor God, for He is our God and we are His people. The sheep of His hand today, if you will hear His voice. When is the last time you heard from God? But the hour cometh, Jesus said to the woman at the well, and now is that they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. But He says the Father seeketh such as to worship Him. God's wanting our worship today. He desires that relationship. Find the protocol to worship in Psalm 100. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. The protocol to worship. Enter in the posture of worship. He said, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. That's the posture of worship. Bowing. Kneeling, let us kneel before the Lord. And then the scripture says, let us lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubt before God. So what you see in a true worship service, what do you see, Pastor? You see people whose hands are raised in submission and surrender to God. You see people whose hands are raised in honor to the Lord. And you see people who are bowing. Why? Why do we bow? Because He's a King. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of hosts. He's worthy. That's the posture of worship. The posture of worship is not a posture of pride and arrogance, but it's a posture of humility. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He'll exalt you in due season. The way up is down. The posture of worship is a posture of humility, surrender. The person of worship is no other than Jesus Christ. Jesus was confronted with Satan himself after he had been in the wilderness for 40 days and fasting and praying, and he came out of the wilderness, and the devil said unto him, "All powers I will give thee and the glory of them if you will worship me, and I'll give it all to you, the world and everything in it." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The Holy Spirit speaking to the church today, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's the person of worship. The place of worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The place of worship is spirit. Goes all the way back to the beginning. The book of Genesis 1:27, God made man in his own image. He created him. Genesis chapter 2, we read the verses. Here it is. The Bible says, God formed man of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul, breath. The Spirit of God. Breath, pneuma. The same, the word in the Greek is the same transliteration, just in the Greek versus the Hebrew in Genesis. But in the Greek in the New Testament where Jesus made those words, they that worship me must worship me in spirit. It is pneuma. And guess what it means? It means breath. Breath. And my prayer this morning is, breathe on us, Holy Spirit. It is the breath of God. It's his breath in our lungs. We worship him in spirit. Then lastly, the power of your worship is the Holy Spirit this morning. John 15:26, Jesus said, "When the Comforter's come, I will send unto you from the Father," even the, here it is, "the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, and he shall testify me," the Spirit of truth. There's a connection in all those words. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. The power behind your worship is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit desires to worship and testify and honor Jesus Christ. That's what worship really is this morning. And I have really summarized a whole lot of notes, but I want to tell you something this morning. The Holy Spirit is in this place. And for us to move in any other direction but to focus on him this morning would be totally irreverent. Our focus is the encouragement for everyone to become a worshiper. Made a statement last week, and I believe the Holy Spirit is just confirming it right here today. Worship is something that happens right here. Worship is an internal response of your spirit to his spirit. It is a response to his word that is in you. By the way, the Bible says the word of God is spiritually inspired. It is inspired of the Holy Spirit. The word inspiration, every word of God is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Sister Collier, that means God breathed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. We worship him in spirit and enter in spirit. Pneuma, breath. Worship in you is created. Worship in you is created when the word in you that is God breathed is confirmed by the spirit in you which inspired that word. And your response to it creates an environment of worship. So you need the Word in you. You need the Spirit in you. And you need that response to the goodness of God. Has God been good to anybody here? Has God been good to you? Amen. If I may use Clinton as an example, Clinton came this morning unprovoked. He came on his own and he came and he worshiped the Lord. It was just his way of honoring God and giving God glory out of his life. You say, what happened there? I'll show you what happened. The Spirit of God that was in him, the pneuma, the breath of God that's in him, the Holy Spirit, which dwells in us, and the Word of God that's in him, and the transformation that's took place, being spiritually reborn into the kingdom of God, being saved from his sin, being transformed by faith, getting saved. When it comes together, it evokes a response. And if we allow it to happen, that's what happens. We just let it flow freely. So many people have the wrong idea of worship. That worship is that we have to be provoked by somebody up on the platform. Okay, can I just tell you, wash away that theology. It's wrong. Your worship is not a response to somebody on this platform. Your worship is a response to the Spirit of God that's in you. Your worship is a response to the Word of God that is in you. And the transformation of the power of God that has transformed your life. It's not about what's happening right here. This is just to set an atmosphere, a tone. It's not about creating worship. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. That's the call to worship today. I worship God in my house this morning. I worship God in my house last night. I worship God in my office this past week. I've worshiped God in this sanctuary. You can worship God anywhere because the worship comes from here. That's in spirit and in truth. So I just want to encourage you today. I really want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I want to de-stress what goes on in the church. See, you come with expectations. I do as well. There's times I've come with expectations and I've felt a holy frustration myself. And the reason is because I had the wrong attitude of worship. The Holy Spirit is helping us, church. Are we listening? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Holy Spirit's saying something. Sister Mary, he's speaking. He's speaking in that class. Sister Carr, he's speaking in the class. He's trying to tell us something. Are we listening? He that hath an ear, let him hear. God's moving. Let's let him move, okay? Is that okay with everybody? Can we just let God move? Let God be God. Bible says, let God be God, let every man be a liar. Well, that puts me in my place. I want you to join me this morning. And I want you to do something with me. I want you to stand, if you will, all over the house. I believe God's going to make a difference in our young people. In our children. Because we're going to focus on our children. Here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to just allow the Spirit of God to do something. I want you to ask the Lord to help you forget all of your preconceived ideas about how true worship is done. And I want you to flip that switch this morning off. And I want you to flip it back on. How many of you ever had to reset something? You ever have to reset something? Amen. Every now and then you got to reset. Sometimes my computer, it'll just lock up. Not often, but on rare occasions it'll lock up. The only thing I can do, I can punch buttons and I can hit it. You know, sometimes I've wanted to hit it with a hammer. But you just, the easiest thing to do is just reach over and turn the power button off and let it reset. Let it boot back up. And then it works fine. Sometimes you have to do that. I want you to push the reset this morning. Because over your life and in time, you have developed an attitude about worship, about church, about the service. You've developed a certain attitude. But I want you to hit reset this morning. And the reason is because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to recharge and renew your worship to God. No preconceived ideas. God, we're going to surrender to you. However you lead us into worship, that's how we'll go. We're going to worship as a response from here, not as a response from here. What if it sounds good, I worship. If it pleases me, I worship. Is worship for you or worship for God? Oh, stop the music, Brother Sam. Hold on. Is worship for me or is worship for God? Need I say another word about worship? We've made it about us, haven't we? We want to do it so it pleases us. And the Holy Spirit wants to hit the reset button for us. And he's going to say, okay, it's time. It's time for you to worship me, God says, because of who I am. Because of what I've done in your life. I want you to hit the reset button this morning in this prayer. We're going to pray. And I want you to hit that reset button. And we're going to pray, God, let our worship please you.